So we are gathered today to celebrate the appearance day of Lord Narsingadev, an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. To start off my presentation, I'm going to chant a verse from Bhagavad Gita. You can chant along if you know the Sanskrit. Parichanaya sadhunam. Prichanaya sadhunam vinashaya chuduskritam nashaya chuduskritam dharma sanstapanartaya dharma sanstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So this is from chapter 4, text 8 of Bhagavad Gita. And the synonyms, please repeat, parichanaya, for the deliverance. Sadhunam, of the devotees. Vinashaya, for the annihilation. Cha, and. Duskritam, of the miscreants. Dharma, principles of religion. Samstapana, artaya, to reestablish. Sambhavami, I do appear. Yuge, millennium. Yuge, after millennium. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So this is Lord Krishna speaking. Ordinarily, people think of God as being something completely beyond human experience. And this is to some extent true. Thank you. Avan Manasagochara. God is normally beyond the reach of human words and of human sense experience. But in order to show mercy on the human beings at this level of reality, the material level of reality, sometimes God descends from His transcendental spiritual abode to the level of our experience. Jai Shushi Gorni Tai, Shushi Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. And He makes Himself visible. Sometimes He comes in His original form. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, the Brahma Samhita says. Some people believe that God is formless. But in reality, God has a form. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. His form is made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And He can display that form to us if He so chooses. So sometimes He displays His original form as Krishna, and sometimes He comes in other forms. Just like an actor may play different roles in different films. So Krishna can do the same thing. He can appear as He exists in His original form, or He can take on other forms according to the role that He wants to play when He displays Himself on this level of reality. And He does so for the reasons mentioned here. you, just like in every film, there's a storyline, there's a plot. So you could say the storyline when God appears in this world is that he delivers the pious, he annihilates the miscreants, and he reestablishes the principles of religion, of Dharma. So he does this in various incarnations or avatars. Avatar means one who descends. So according to the Vedic literature, there are 10 principal avatars. They're called the Das Avatars. There's the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who's shown here. Then there are his, although he has limitless avatars, 10 of them are described in great detail in the Puranas, the Vedic histories. There's Matsya, the fish incarnation, Kurma, the tortoise incarnation, Varaha, the boar incarnation. Then there's Narasimhadev, the half-man, half-lion incarnation, or avatar, whom we're going to discuss this evening. Then there's Vamana. Then there's Parasaram, then there's Ram, then Krishna, Buddha, and Kalki. Kalki is the incarnation who will come at the end of the Kali Yuga. He hasn't appeared yet. So this evening we are discussing the fourth of these 10 avatars, Lord Narasimhadev. And the Sanskrit word Narasimha, Narasimhadev, is made up of three words. Nara means human, Singha means lion, Deva means Lord. So Narasimhadev means the form of the Lord who came as half man, half lion. And there's a reason why he appeared in this particular form. But it's a long story, and it begins long, long ago when four sages called the Kumaras came to the spiritual world, to one of the spiritual planets, and tried to get entrance because they wanted to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Kumara means little boy. So although these sages were thousands or even millions of years old, they always appeared as young boys, children. And they particularly chose those forms because they did not want to become involved in marriage and sex life and things like that. So they decide to remain always as little boys so they could roam freely throughout the universes, spiritual and material. So they were very saintly and they wanted to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they went to one of the Vaikuntha planets, the spiritual planets. And there were gatekeepers there, two gatekeepers named Jai and Vijay. So they blocked their way. They questioned whether these four boy sages should be allowed into this spiritual planet. So that upset these sages. They became a little bit angry because they felt they were qualified to enter into this Vaikuntha planet, and they could not understand why these two doorkeepers were blocking their way. So Lord Narayan, who is the form of Krishna who exists in the Vaikuntha planets, came to see what the problem was. And he was feeling that as the master of these two doorkeepers, he was responsible for their activities. Just like, you know, sometimes if you go into a hotel or something or a restaurant and you feel you've been offended by some of the staff, you may wish to speak to the manager, the person in charge. And if the manager is a good person, he'll take responsibility for the actions of his employees. So in the same way, Lord Narayan, the Lord of the Vaikuntha planet, was feeling responsible for the activities of his servants, Jai and Vijay. And he also felt unhappy that these four boy sages had been offended, so he proposed a solution. He proposed some punishment for Jai and Vijay. So he proposed, let them be sent to the material world to take birth as asuras or demons for three lifetimes. And then after that, after they've spent those three lifetimes as asuras or demons in the material world, then they can return to Vaikuntha. So, the four Kumaras, they were satisfied with that. So an arrangement was made that these two doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay, would take birth three times in the material world as demons. So their first births were as the demons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And they were born to the sage Kashyapa and his wife Diti. One may ask why these demons were born to a sage and his demigod wife. They had engaged in the act of conception at an inauspicious time in an uncontrolled way. So it's said that, according to the Vedic cosmology, that the type of child one gets depends on the consciousness of the parents at the time the child is conceived. So normally, according to Vedic civilization, the parents engage in samskaras or rituals to purify their consciousness so that they will attract good offspring. But in this case, that didn't happen. So these two demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, took birth as the sons of Kashyapa and Diti. So they were very powerful demons. They appeared towards the beginning of the Kalpa. You know, Vedic time goes in vast cycles called Kalpa, or Day of Brahma. And a kalpa lasts about 4 billion years. At the end of a kalpa, there's a devastation where the lower planetary systems, the material planets, including our Earth, are covered by water. They go into a cosmic ocean called the Garbhadak Ocean. And at the beginning of a kalpa, the Earth has to be brought up from the depths of this ocean. And there's an avatar of Krishna called Varaha that does that. So Varaha is in the form of a boar. Because boars, sometimes they'll dive into the water to find something and bring it back up to the surface. So in this case, this transcendental spiritual boar, Varaha, he was diving into this Garbha ocean to find the earth planet and bring it back up to the surface. Of course, this demon, Hiranyaksha, he wanted to take control of the earth. As this is the demoniac mentality. Demons want to take control of God's property and use it for their own selfish, greedy purposes. You know, they want to have the kingdom of God without God. So this demon Hiranyaksha, he tried to interfere with the activities of Lord Varaha. So there was a big battle. And in the battle, Lord Varaha, an incarnation of Krishna, killed the demon Hiranyaksha. So his brother, the demon Hiranyakashipu, was very angry that Krishna had killed his brother Hiranyaksha. So he began to perform tapasya, austerities, because he wanted a benediction from the chief demigod, Brahma, so that he could become very powerful and he could get vengeance against Krishna for having killed his brother Hiranyaksha. And he also wanted to avoid the fate of his brother. He was also very fearful that Krishna, Vishnu, would kill him someday. So he wanted to perform austerities so that he could get benedictions from the chief demigod, Brahma. So he went to an isolated place in the mountains and stopped eating, stopped drinking. He just stood on his tiptoes with his hands elevated into the air and remained like that for thousands of years. Now, meanwhile, you know, he had left his kingdom and he had left behind his pregnant wife, Kayadu. So the demigods thought, she is going to give birth to a great demon who will be just like his father and his father's brother. So they decided to capture her and take her away and keep her captive until her child was born, and then they planned to kill this child so it wouldn't grow up to become a great demon. But the great sage Narada Muni interfered with this plan of the demigods. He said, don't do this. Actually, the child in her womb will become a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So he took the woman to his ashram and he kept her there. And while she was there with her child in her womb, he would speak spiritual knowledge to her every day. And, you know, the child within the womb could actually hear this as well. He could hear the transcendental sounds that were being spoken by Narada Muni. And in this way, even within the womb, the child became a spiritually knowledgeable devotee of Lord Krishna. Meanwhile, Hiranyakashipu was continuing to practice his austerities, and the demigods said to Lord Brahma, "You have to do something, because by these austerities, he's actually disturbing the whole universal situation." So Lord Brahma went and visited him at the place. At first, Lord Brahma couldn't find him because after much time had passed, all the flesh had disappeared from his bones. And some ants had built a great anthill over the bones. And he was just existing by his yogic powers within his bones. All his flesh was gone. And finally, Lord Brahma understood where he was inside, you know, this big, huge anthill. And he inquired from him, "Well, what do you want?" And Hiranyakashipu, somehow or other, was able to speak and said, "Well, I would like some benedictions. I would like to be eternal, immortal." And Brahma said, "Well, I can't give you that benediction because even I'm not immortal." Brahma is the chief demigod. He's the first created being in the universe. But his lifetime has an end. At the end of Brahma's lifetime, which is about 311 trillion years, according to our calculation, his body dies. So even though he lives a very, very long time, according to our calculation, the demigods live long lives, according to our calculation, but still, they are mortal. So Brahma said, "I can't give you that benediction because even I myself am not immortal. At the end of my life, I will have to leave my body." So Hiranyakashipu asked for other benedictions. He said, "Well, at least let me not be killed by any man or animal. Let me not be killed at day or night. Let me not be killed inside or outside." So he was thinking of all the different possibilities and times and places in which he might be killed by Lord Krishna or any other person of this world. And he asked for all these benedictions, and Brahma granted him these benedictions. So, with these very powerful benedictions, Hiranyakashipu regained his normal form. He was very powerful, he was very brilliant, he was very strong, he had a lot of material intelligence. And he began to use his powers to conquer the whole material universe, not just this planet, but even some of the heavenly planets, the planets of the demigods. So he established rule over the entire material universe. But he had his son, who was named Prahlad. And he wanted his son, Prahlad, to follow in his footsteps. He wanted him to be educated in such a way that he would also be a very powerful materialist, very expert at controlling others in a material way, very expert in satisfying his own material desires to his full satisfaction. This is what many people want in the world. They want to control material wealth and power and influence. You know, they want to have very strong, powerful bodies, handsome or beautiful bodies, to use for sense gratification. You know, they want the kingdom of God without God. They want to be God, you could say. So, Hiranyakashipu wanted his son educated in the same way, so he sent him to school that was run by the teachers of the Asuras, or the demons. There were two teachers named Sanda and Amarga. And they tried to educate Prahlad to be a good materialist, a good material politician, a good material diplomat, a good exploiter of material resources, a good controller of other people. But Prahlad did not submit very well to this materialistic education. He remembered the teachings from Narada Muni that he had heard even within the womb of his mother. And he understood that actually the purpose of human life is not material sense gratification. The purpose of human life is to become humble servants of the Supreme Lord Krishna. That he understood that glorification of the Supreme Lord Krishna is the purpose of human life. Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnera Nityadas. The eternal position of the self is eternal servant of Krishna. So, when his teachers weren't around, Prahlad would instruct his classmates in these things. And his classmates were all sons of very powerful demons. And they were also being trained to be very good materialists, very good controllers and exploiters of the material resources. But Prahlad was telling them, no, we are spirit souls. We are not these material bodies. We are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord Krishna. We should serve Krishna with our body, mind, and words. We should use material resources for the glorification and service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And we should chant Krishna's names. So he would do that with his school friends secretly. There's many times today devotees of Krishna may find themselves in a similar situation, having to go to a school or university or college where people are being indoctrinated in all kinds of materialistic theories, like the idea that life comes from chemicals, that there is no soul, there is no God in control of the universe, there is no designer of the universe, everything is just happening by chance, it's only matter. Of course, Krishna describes this philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita, Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram aparasprasam bhutam kimanyat kamahaitakam. There Krishna explains, yes, there's a certain kind of philosopher who says, there's no God in control of the universe, there's no soul, there's no God, everything is just matter. Matter is the only thing that exists. And we should simply learn how to control and exploit matter for our own pleasure. And we can do anything we want. There's no purpose to human life except what we make. What we make it. We make our own laws. There are no cosmic laws or higher powers, anything like that in the universe. We are the highest power, so we make our own laws. We do what we like. So that was the philosophy that was being taught in the school of the demons that Prahlad Maharaj went to. It's also the philosophy that's being taught in many of the universities and colleges and schools today. So sometimes devotees who find themselves in those situations have to do something similar to what Prahlad did. They have to at least privately or secretly maintain their belief in Krishna, their belief in God, that there's a higher power in the universe. There's some spiritual purpose to human life. So, sometimes Hiranyakashipu would try to talk to his son. He would ask him, what are you learning in school? And he was hoping he would say, yes, I'm learning to be a very powerful materialist like you. And I hope to follow in your footsteps. But his son would say all kinds of things that were very strange to the ears of Hiranyakashipu. He would say, father, I think you're really too much of a materialist. I think maybe it's time for you to retire, start thinking about other things. So his father became very angry with him and actually even tried to kill him for saying these things. Tried to throw him off mountain cliffs and things like that. And he wasn't able to kill his son, Prahlad. So he asked Prahlad, what is this power that you have? Where do you get this power that you're able to resist me like this? He said, well, I'm getting the power from the same place that you get your power, from God, from Krishna. And Hiranyakashipu said, no, I don't, what is this God? Where is he? Is he here? And Prahlad said, yes, he's here. And Hiranyakashipu said, motioning to one of the pillars of the palace, is he in the pillar of this palace? And Prahlad said, yes, he is. And Hiranyakashipu took his sword and slashed at the pillar. He said, just see, he's not there. But at that moment, Lord Nrisimhadev appeared out of the pillar, and Hiranyakashipu was very surprised, but he still thought, oh, what is this strange beast that has appeared in this way? I will destroy him. He tried, but this half-man, half-lion form of Krishna actually destroyed the demon Hiranyakashipu. And he did it while keeping all the benedictions of Lord Brahma intact. Hiranyakashipu had gotten the benediction. He wouldn't be killed by any human being or animal, but he was killed by half-man, half-lion. He had the benediction he wouldn't be killed by any weapon, but he was killed by the nails or claws of this incarnation of Krishna called Lord Nrisimhadev. He had the benediction he wouldn't be killed at day or night, but he was killed at dusk. That's why many of us have been fasting all day today. We're going to break our fast at dusk, because that is when Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared. He was also killed. Hiranyakashipu had the benediction. He wouldn't be killed inside or outside, but he was killed at the threshold of the palace, between the outside and the inside. So this just goes to show that materialistic, atheistic people may think they are very intelligent, and that somehow or other they'll be able to avoid, you know, the judgment of the Supreme Lord. But they can't, no matter how intelligent or sophisticated they may be, as shown here. So then, after he killed Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu's soldiers attacked Lord Nrisimhadeva, and he killed all of them as well. So sometimes violence is necessary. There is such a thing as righteous violence, violence for a spiritual purpose. You know, we are not nonviolent. If somebody came in here to try to kill everybody, we would try to deal with that person. We wouldn't just say, oh, we're nonviolent, and let a person come in here and kill everybody. So then afterwards, Lord Nrisimhadeva sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, and he appeared to be in a very angry mood. He was so angry, appeared to be so angry, in such an angry mood, that none of the demigods wanted to approach him. So all the demigods got together, and they asked Prahlad to do that. So, Prahlad offered prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva. He actually begged Lord Nrisimhadeva to forgive his father, which he did. So thank you very much. Lord Nrisimhadeva Ki Jai!